My name is Steve Westgarth, and this is The Engineering Leader. Today on The Engineering Leader, I want to talk about skills. Too often, organizations try to put all engineers into one bucket and assume that all engineers are born equal. Even when there is recognition that engineers use different programming languages, within those languages, there are often different levels of skill, which can't necessarily be measured just by talking about years of experience. I remember a few years ago, a recruiter called me up telling me they had an amazing mobile engineer who was looking for a role. They said that that mobile engineer had 10 years experience with Swift. They were slightly taken aback when I said that Swift only got released in WWDC 2014, so how could that engineer possibly have had 10 years of experience with Swift? The reality is that engineers may have only been using a particular language for a short period of time, but if that quality of experience is really great, then they might be able to do far more than someone who's been working within a language for many, many years. Modern frameworks are developing at a tremendous pace. It's often possible for an engineer with the right aptitude who has only been coding for a few months to become an expert in a technology and to be far more capable than another engineer who has far more experience measured in the traditional sense. What we're really measuring here is the quality of an engineer's experience. And then, of course, there is the quality of the code. It's possible to find an engineer who is able to deliver software solutions that work, but if you look under the hood, what's actually been written is an absolute garbled mess, which is unmaintainable and untestable and therefore not performant. The challenge here is that while the system might work today, extending the system or adding new features will become incredibly challenging over time, and it's easy to find yourself in a world where the agility of the organisation is significantly impaired due to the need for lengthy regression test cycles. The trick here is that the application needs to be written with clean, maintainable code. The most complex or clever solution never wins out here. This is about engineers writing code that is designed to be read and to be understood. It's a skill and one that a lot of engineers really struggle with. So, how can businesses get a handle on this? With salaries for engineers growing exponentially, it's so important to make sure that engineers working with us have the skills that we really need. So, these are my top 5 recommendations to help organizations get a grip on their engineers' core competencies. Number 1, and this is something I found so valuable in the organizations that I've worked with. Let's start by creating a skills matrix. So understand what skills you've actually got in your organization, and then understand how good those skills actually are. Getting engineers to self-rate this is absolutely fine. Give them a matrix and say, are you good? Are you great? Have you got basic understanding? Get the engineers to actually start measuring themselves against each other. Have some internal conversations across the teams. See where that level of understanding is really at. Maybe within a particular framework, there's some new features which have been released. Are the engineers up to speed with those features? Have they really understood what's happening in that area of development, for example? Can they articulate it? Can they talk about it? Could they deliver a lunch and learn session on it? Challenge the engineers to be really honest here. This is not about you're trying to use this as a stick to beat engineers with by saying that they should have skills that they haven't got, but it's about honesty. It's about actually saying, hey, you know what? In this particular technology or this particular area, this is where I am. The reality is, in some areas, some engineers will be great. They'll be superstars. They'll understand the technology inside and out. In other areas, maybe they haven't quite got the same level of skill. And actually, being honest about that within the team or within the organization is so important, because then you as a leadership can start to understand where your gaps lie and maybe where you want to develop your engineers, maybe by introducing training and development opportunities, maybe directing the people to go on a course or a conference in order to fill some of those gaps. An honest conversation to understand your engineer skills is really important in order to understand how you can drive the right skill that your organization really needs. And that leads on to point number 2. Limit the number of languages that the organization makes use of. It's really easy, particularly in an enterprise organization, to end up supporting hundreds of different programming languages and technologies. And you know what? That might be cool if we were just thinking about individual silos. So thinking about, you know, having lots of independent projects that don't need to talk to each other. But think about this in the context of the enterprise. Think about how you can maintain something. And actually, the more languages you introduce, the more complexity you introduce. Maybe take a step back and think about actually what should the landscape look like. Now, you don't want to limit the teams and say that they can only use, you know, this language or that language. You want to give them more breadth than that. But actually, you know, making sure that you have languages which are fairly common across the organization, it just kind of makes sense. You can then go out and you can say, hey, you know what? We're a JavaScript shop, so therefore we're hiring Mern engineers. And we actively look as part of our recruitment strategy to make sure that they are the engineers that we're bringing in. That also makes it really easy in terms of managing progression and development, because you can put leadership in place that actually understands the technology, and you can make sure that they're directing people along their own development path. As technology progresses and as we see new languages, new skills get introduced, it's obvious that you need to make sure that engineers are keeping pace with that development. So this is not about saying don't do anything new. It's just about doing that in a structured way and making sure if you introduce a new technology or a new thing into the organization, you're actively buying into the fact that as an organization, you need to support it and you need to make sure you've got skills in the organization to support the applications that are produced that's using it. Point number three, define clear patterns, principles, and standards that can form the building blocks that can be reused within the organization across multiple applications. So this is about not reinventing the wheel, right? It's about understanding how we're going to use a technology, how we're going to integrate it into our estate, and making sure we've got a pattern that we can follow so that when we need to introduce something, we don't have to reinvent the wheel. So let's think about introducing a PaaS service into our organization. Do we want to go through an API gateway? What's the networking route we're going to interface with that application? Do we need to have peered the application into our network in some way? Is there a particular security requirement we need to be aware of? Can we document that so that actually it can be reused for many, many PaaS services? And then every time we're bringing on board a new PaaS, all we need to do is follow that same pattern. We can actually go a level lower than that, and you can think about specific technologies. Maybe you're thinking about a particular database application you're going to introduce. Maybe you're going to introduce a particular CMS. Maybe you're going to go headless. So how do people need to interface with those technologies in order to use them within their application? Ideally, you want to make it so that any engineering team can pick up any of these building blocks and can then use them almost like Lego, stitching them together in order to build an application of their own choice. So that means you need to think about the documentation that needed to support that. Can you make sure that an engineer can go to a particular repository or a particular place, they can read a README file, they can maybe get some example code, and they can see how to integrate that particular component into any application that they're building. Focusing on reuse is a really easy way to remove duplication from the organization. If it's easier to reuse something which is already there, then an engineer will always choose the easier route and will try to make sure that they use that within their application. Engineers don't want to make life difficult for themselves, so make reuse the obvious and the easy choice. Which leads on to point number four. Think enterprise-wide and don't focus on individual silos. So when you're thinking about introducing a technology or a particular thing to meet a business need, think about actually, am I going to use capabilities here which are going to be used by other areas of the organization? If I want to introduce a new content management system, am I going to use a content management system that's totally unknown to the organization? Or have we already got a contract somewhere else so that we can actually create an enterprise content management solution? Maybe take payments. That's another great example of a capability. I don't want to have multiple contracts with different vendors for payment solutions. I want to have one solution that will work in multiple use cases right across the organization. Centralizing that capability means you can drive down cost in the organization. It also makes sure that each of the capabilities are much more supportable and easier to use. So therefore, it makes the obvious choice again if you're starting to spin up a new application, because you can say, hey, this is the way we do it. This is the way that we do this around here. Now, again, that's not to say these capabilities have to remain stagnant. They will need their own roadmap. They need to keep pace with industry trends. But in these individual domains, these capability domains, you'll find that the world will be moving at a particular pace. You'll find that maybe there's a particular your legal issue which is coming out, or something which we need to be aware of on our roadmap to make sure that we can continue to use the capability in this way. Actually, what this is about doing is centralizing domain experts in a particular place who can really focus on making sure they know what's really current within a particular space and make sure that as an organization, we're keeping pace with where the external world really is at. And finally, point number five, make sure your engineers have the right level of technical leadership who can show the engineers what good looks like. This is about making sure that we actually have oversight, technical oversight of what engineers are doing. We need to know at a code level how engineers are approaching challenges, and we need to make sure that we're showing engineers what good looks like in a particular space. We talk a lot about writing good code, quality code, but what do we actually mean by that? So I think back to when I was, you know, doing code on a day-by-day basis. It took me a long time to actually realize what good looked like. And I didn't really see that until somebody showed me. Once you've seen good code and you understand good code, then that means you can really start to experiment and to play and to be creative with the code. But actually, if you haven't understood what good looks like, then it's very difficult to make sure you're building out a quality application. If you've got engineers with common skill sets, it makes sense to centralize them under a leadership that understands what they're working on and what's actually current and what's happening in their space. It doesn't necessarily mean they aren't working for different parts of the organization, but it means that as an organization, we can start to get some control over what's been written, how it's been written, and making sure it really meets what the organization needs, both now and well into the future. So with that, that was my five top tips for making sure that you've got a handle on engineer skills and competencies. Thanks for listening today. If you're enjoying listening to The Engineering Leader, please do let me know. Reach out to me on LinkedIn or Twitter. Just search for @SteveWestgarth. And don't forget to tune into The Engineering Leader every Sunday, where I chat to somebody working in the software engineering industry, helping us all to collectively raise the bar and share good practice across our organizations so that we can all build better software for our customers. In the meantime, remember, we all write bad code. If you disagree, you may as well switch off. My name is Steve Westgarth, and this is The Engineering Leader.